Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go through, thank you, sir. We're going to go through it. We're going to take our time going through it and get as far as we get. There's only six chapters, so it can't take us that long to get through it. But we're gonna see that take place. You know, we need to understand that something happens when we come together. We need to get a good understanding of the corporate anointing. There is something that is unleashed unlike any other time when believing believers get together and make a demand in the spirit realm. Something takes place. It's important to know that the anointing always does what it's supposed to do. And when you and I choose to yield, the anointing is effective. And we're added to, and what's added to us never goes away. So because of our yielding, because of our choosing, we'll never be the same after today. There's something being added to you that the enemy can't take. The enemy can never take your position in Christ. And that's so powerful. The enemy can never take revelation. When we receive revelation knowledge, it's knowledge that's not only revealed to us, but it becomes a part of us. And the enemy has no place in us, so he can never steal from us, from who we really are. He attempts to attack our identity. He attempts to attack our things, our loved ones. But he can never attack what's already been made a part of us. He can't. And it's key that we know and understand that. Because what God is desiring to do in this place is eternal. Right beyond the temporary things. What God does will last forever. And we need to know that, family. What the enemy would like to do is to cause ignorance of who we really are, so he can take. But once we know who we really are, once we begin to function and flow from the perspective of our ascended being, there's nothing he can do to be effective in our lives. You know, you're seated in two places. You don't understand, you function in two different realms. And the more we acknowledge our heavenly identity, the more we begin to flow from that position, the enemy doesn't have a chance. It's only when we yield to the lower places that he can be effective. But because the greater one lives on the inside of us, the lesser one can't take from us. That is so important to know and understand and begin to flow from. That is so crucial. that we flow that way. There's somebody in here who's been really struggling. The enemy's been really tempting you and encouraging you to quit. You feel like you can't go on anymore. You feel like you've done all that you could do and you're ready to throw your hands up and say, I tried. The Lord wants you to know, keep pushing forward because He's with you. And the promise is, if you keep moving, He'll show Himself strong in your life. Not down the road, now. Somebody needs an answer from God. Somebody needs some answers right now. And God is going to answer you in this service. You know why worship is so important? Because worship goes beyond us. And it allows us to hear Him. If we choose to remain in our comfort zone, we'll only get what we already have. It's when we choose to go beyond ourselves that we open ourselves up to allow Him to do what He wants to do. You understand that? The greatest you is at the end of the present you. What you already have is limited. It's when we exhaust ourselves and throw our hands up and say, Lord, I can't do it without you. He says, okay, let's go. Family, whatever you do, understand your comfort zone is the enemy to your success. Whatever you do, don't be content in your comfort. Choose to step outside and allow God to take you to where He desires to take you. You know, you're not wasting your time being here today. You're being added to. Something is going to shift in your life today. You're going to be, it's not a coincidence that you're here. My lovely wife says hello to each and every one of you. You guys, let her know you love her. She's watching online today. She wanted to say hello and how much she loves and appreciates all of the loves, the support, the gifts, the all of what you've done, she has taken to heart. We have taken to heart, and we're so grateful for each and every one of you. You don't know what you really need until you really have a need. You don't know who you really have until you really have a need. And it's so important to have an amazing family like you all to come along aside of us as she's fully recovering. Will you come into agreement with me today and expect a supernatural outpouring? I'm asking for demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, visitations and manifestations that are tangible, that are undeniable, so that all of us go and advance the kingdom with power and authority. You know, glory is available. The glory of the Father is available for you and I to tap into and be impacted forever. It's up to us not only to expect it, but to receive it. It's absolutely critical. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 1. Let's agree to expect an outpouring like never before. A burden removing, yoke destroying power that's made available to take care of every need in the house. It doesn't matter what it is. When we yield to the glory of the Father, depression has to leave. And there are three people in here right now who are fighting depression. Fighting it. One of the things that always combats depression is acknowledging the Father, celebrating Him, and worshiping Him. And it begins to go away from you. Depression is not from God. It's not a part of your personality. There's somebody who has been labeled as an introvert, shy and to yourself. God doesn't want you to give into that personality, so to speak, because that's not a personality. That's the enemy trying to put pride on you. You know, being an introvert or being shy is just a form of pride. And pride is the devil's personality. That's his greatest character, pride. When we're introverted and we're more concerned about what people will say or think, that's prideful. You may have never heard it that way, but it's true. When we're concerned about them more than we're concerned about Him, that's a problem. We are to live our lives before the audience of one. That's what He's after. The enemy doesn't care how he trips us up, how he fools us into thinking any other way. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Father, help us to comprehend that which You desire to get over to us today. Father, illuminate our hearts and minds to grab hold of Your holy written word as we begin to enter in to what it is You have to say for us. I'm asking You to unravel the mysteries of Your kingdom today. Father, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Guide us and teach us by Your Holy Spirit. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Ephesians is Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, and it's full of some of the most powerful revelations about the believer's union with Christ. And for all you paper lovers like myself, I promise to have notes for us tomorrow. Next week. I guess I will have them tomorrow, but you won't have them. But they'll be available next week. Paul called the truths that he was presenting in this particular book mysteries. For that reason, Paul wrote or included two different prayers. One was in the first chapter, verse 15 through 23, and the other one was in the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. And in his letters to the church of Ephesus, he was asking the Lord to grant the readers wisdom. And that's what we're asking the Lord today, for wisdom. Because family, it is not about what man says. It is not about what man thinks. It's about what our Lord and our Savior says about us. And we have to not only settle that, we have to move on that. We have to get to the place where that's the key. And I'll be providing those. And how many of you have ever prayed the Ephesian prayers? Raise your hand if you've ever prayed the Ephesian prayers. You know, it's such a powerful, the thing about the Ephesian prayers, it's the body asking the Lord for wisdom and being very specific about that very thing. And I've utilized Ephesian prayers for years, over many occasions. And what happens is, you know, you get spiritual understanding, which is available. And the reason why Paul set it up the way he set it up, because there were some things that the church of Ephesus weren't able to accomplish in their own might, with their own understanding. And I submit to you today, there are some things that we can't accomplish without the Holy Spirit enlightening our understandings. We need to really know and understand what he is saying about the situation. We need to understand that when we feel like we're surrounded, we're really surrounded by him. If you have ever gotten that picture, it'd be hard to stay on your feet. I remember being at a conference and heard that song for the first time, and God started opening my spiritual eyes, and I saw the amount of help that was available, and I just began to weep. Because the enemy would love to lie to us, to isolate us, and make us feel like we have lack, that there is a deficit inside of us. And the truth is, there are ministering spirits that are all around and about you to escort you to God's perfect will in your life. I remember being here during a prayer service and seeing a ministering spirit, and his head was as high as these are 30 feet ceilings. I remember looking up, and the ministering spirit just kind of nodded. And it was almost like, I got you, nod. And the amount of comfort and peace that came over me was supernatural. And the Lord wants to say to you, he's got you. The attacks of the enemy will not hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. Know that. Be settled in. From now on, God has so much for you to do for the kingdom of God. God desires to show you that. He's going to begin to open your eyes more and more. You're going to begin to function in the spirit realm more. And it's not going to be, oh, wow. It's going to be like, oh, okay. It's going to be a settling. It's going to become natural to you. So expect that. And receive that. Am I good? Do I need to take the mic off? Do I need to take the mic off? Is it me? Do I need to switch up? Am I good? Yes? That is so important to know and understand. In fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's skip to the me and the team. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Let's look at verse 15. We'll look at 15 through 23. This is the Ephesian prayers I mentioned. I will still put together a handout for us, but let's put it on the screen and go through this. Let's read this, because we need wisdom. Not man's wisdom. We need spiritual wisdom. Let's read this together. Ephesians 1:15, it's on the screen. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, before we go to 16, hear that. Love for and all the saints. You know what that means? We have to kick unforgiveness and offense out of our lives, because it will absolutely clog up our understanding filters. it will absolutely hinder our receiving. It doesn't matter what they did, said, kick it out. Be quick to forgive. Let no offense hang around your life. Verse 16. Ready? Read. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is a prayer. I identified that. It's just, he's praying for them. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. So very important. Look at verse 18 again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. Family, can we agree we need this? We need the eyes of our understanding enlightened. We need to know the hope of his calling. We need to know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the same family. We have inherited so much. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If you don't know your purpose, your assignment, and your calling, you are not fulfilled. Period. It doesn't matter. Your bank account could be fat. You could have married a trophy wife. You could have your 401k bubbling over. If you don't know your purpose, you're unfulfilled. If you don't know what you're called to do, there's a hole in you. If you don't know your assignment, there's something missing. It's available, and that's what we're looking at in Ephesians. The reason why we're going to take time and go through Ephesians is because we're asking the Lord for spiritual wisdom. We're asking for insight, know-how. We're asking him for next steps. What is my assignment? Lord, what would you have me to do here? When you do that, there's so much peace that comes over you. Yes. And you're really effective to other people too. You know, when we don't know our assignment, our calling, our purpose, we're not effective to those around us. We're just not. When we don't know our purpose, we are takers. When we don't know our calling or our assignment, we are taking from others instead of adding to others. The moment you and I step into our purpose, we begin to walk in kingdom principles. We begin to add to everyone around us. You know why? Because your purpose came from God. And God's going to make what he put in you effective. Yes. You know, the reason Jesus kept saying repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, the reason why the blessings of God are chasing you. Get that picture. The blessings of God are chasing you. I need three people to come up here and help me with this illustration. I saw this in the spirit. The reason why he says repent, the blessings, I'm going to have Tim, I have you be the one that needs to repent. All right. I'm going to have you walking this way, and the blessings of God, you guys are following him. You're following. Walk slower, and you're just walking forward. The blessings of God are following him. Now, watch this. You guys, stop for a second. And the Lord's message is repent. Repent. Now, what does repent mean?
Change your mind.
Turn around. Repent means to turn around and go the other way. Now the blessings of God that are chasing him are going to collide with him. And the power of God is going to overtake him. This is why we need to repent. Thank you, guys. You guys see that illustration? You get that picture? Now, we will sometimes hear the word repent and say, well, I'm good. You know, there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on in my life. And we will, if we reduce the word repent to wickedness or sin or iniquity, we won't be willingly repenting when God is saying repent. He's saying turn around. He's saying go. He's saying go the other way. Repent. Turn around. Go according to the path that God has for you, because when we get on that path, we'll be overtaken with the blessings of God. We could fool ourselves and say, well, no, I'm already blessed. The blessings of God have already been released. God's already done the blessings. But if we don't repent and allow the collision to take place, it's nobody's fault but ours. The blessings of God have already been released. If they're on the 101, get off the 202. we need to allow the collision to take place. Amen? The other prayer is in Ephesians 3:14-21. We won't read that. I'll hand those out, and we'll have them all. My whole point is we're asking God the way Paul asked God for wisdom for the church of Ephesus. We're asking for wisdom, spiritual wisdom for the church of Word Life. We're asking that our eyes are open. We're asking that we will never be the same. The overall messages of Ephesians are identity. And then it turns into relations. But the bulk of it is identity. The first three chapters of Ephesians deal with our position and our calling in Christ. There is no book that I read more than the book of Ephesians. Once we know our calling and our identity, it takes the enemy a really hard time. It makes it hard for him to talk us out of it. It makes it difficult. I remember hearing the enemy. I remember feeling the enemy. I remember somebody making a statement that caught my attention. And then I came to myself. I said, oh, that's not my reality at all. And there was a friend of mine who was trying to help. And it just didn't bear witness with me. And one of the things he was trying to encourage me with was, Freddie, you're from the hood. You need to be serving in the hood. You know, you grew up in the streets. You know, people don't understand. People don't even know your background. People don't know you slept on the floor, bullets flying over you. People don't know that, you know, helicopters, ghetto birds were part of your life. People, they don't know. And he was trying to encourage me, like, you shouldn't even be where you are. No, you need to be in Phoenix somewhere, or you need to be in a different place. You need to be in the inner city. And he's just talking, and then he turned into like Charlie Brown's parents after a while. and I'm trying to be cordial, but on the inside of me, I'm like, there is a big difference of pre-Christ and post-Christ. And if the blood of Jesus doesn't make a difference in my life, something's wrong with that. If I identify with my past more than I identify with my maker, something's wrong with that. To be redeemed does not look the same. Because of him, I'm better. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm okay if the people I went to elementary school with don't recognize me. I'm good with that. Because the greater one coming on the inside of me makes a difference in me. As long as I don't got it twisted, you're better because of the God in you. Do you understand that? You are more because of Christ. You understand that? You're more. You still got it going on. But because of him, you really got it going on. That's got to be a reality. There's got to be a shift in our identity because we've identified ourselves with Christ, the anointed one. If you understand this for a second, the anointed one lives in me. I didn't inherit a little Christ. I didn't inherit a step Christ. The anointed one now abides in me. The dead is supposed to respond to my voice because the anointed one is on the inside of me. Ears are supposed to open because the anointed one lives on the inside of me. Sarah, God desires to show you a new insight and revelation about who you are in him. He's desiring for you to go beyond anything you've ever thought you could accomplish in him. He's asking you to submit and yield like never before. Forget everything that's ever taken place and start afresh and anew. And begin to declare a refreshing. Begin to declare a fresh anointing is falling on me. Begin to declare that. And your very countenance is going to shift. People are going to walk up to you and say, you look like, what's going on with you? Begin to declare that. Receive that. Father, we agree with Sarah. We agree with your plan for her life, the refreshing, the renewal, and we add our faith, hope, and expectation to hers right now. And we say, so be it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Family, we're supposed to impact the world around us. The last three chapters of Ephesians are the practical chapters that talk about relationships, husbands and wives, children. It talks about relationships. The first three is all about us and our identity in him. The second three is how we apply it, which makes total sense. And because the way it works, we get this together, this flows freely. And what a perfect picture of the cross. This, our vertical, when our vertical is right, when we receive the first three chapters of Ephesians, we get that down, 4 through 6 goes out. We begin interacting with people. The first three are first for a reason. Once we have that, our rightful position. On the doctrinal side, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, we find everything has been done and is complete in him. A true understanding of our rightful place as believers does not begin by doing, but begins with what has been done. When we grab hold of that revelation, it takes over everything. It's already been done. We're not fighting for a position. We're fighting from a position. that is so important to grab hold of. It changes everything. We're invited to sit down and enjoy all that God has done for us in Christ. We are to rest in Him. It's only from this revelation that true faith begins to flow. We have to first get that revelation. The background of this letter to the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was a leading seaport city. It was famous in the ancient world for its worship of the goddess Diana. The goddess of fertility, also known as the many-breasted goddess, Artemis, who was worshipped through the act of prostitution, through this chief city, Paul was able to evangelize all of Asia. Why did I put that in there? In the middle of this environment, Paul took Asia for Christ. We serve the same God. The environment around us does not dictate our results. It's the God in us that's going to dictate the results all around us. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we could look at this and say, wait a minute. In the ancient times, Paul did this? How much more is God desiring to use us now? It doesn't matter what they're doing. Ephesus was the chief city of the Roman province of Asia and is now known as Turkey. It was in this setting of Greek culture that Paul was able to build a strong church-honoring culture. And I am here to make a public declaration that no other culture is going to take Chandler, Mesa, Gilbert, Tempe. No other culture is going to. We are going to be a part of a God-honoring building culture in the mighty name of Jesus. The Christ in us is more than enough. So very important. Paul stated three times in this letter that he was a prisoner. Most scholars believe that it was during this imprisonment in Rome that Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. I included this in here because it doesn't matter how busy we are. It doesn't matter how bad things may seem. It doesn't matter what limitations we put on ourselves. We're not in prison. And this man wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, transformed every place his foot walked. He's no better than you. Paul is no better than you. In fact, we have a head start because we see what Paul did, how he did it, and Paul demonstrated a way for the church. You got to understand, the church wasn't getting it initially. And then Paul prayed. And then the church began to get it. So when we choose to start praying effective spiritual wisdom requests, we can expect it to take place in our lives. Critical. So very important. God desires for you and I to begin to dream like never before. Not just about natural things, but spiritual things. Visions, visitations, manifestations of His presence. I fully believe that Word Life Church is supposed to be a hub of the supernatural. I fully believe that we are called to function in the spirit realm, not just get glimpses, that testimonies are going to begin to flow and flourish of, you know, I was transported. I was in prayer. The next thing I knew, I was laying hands on my sister. You know, I was awakened, and this is what I saw. You know, I called so-and-so. I just had an impression to call so-and-so, and they were just about to take their life. The supernatural belongs to you. It does. And until we experience it, we don't know what we're really missing out of. And those of you who have experienced it, God is saying, come up. Come up. There's so much more available. Father, thank you for supernatural wisdom. Thank you for this series that we are about to go into. I'm coming into agreement with every household that we will never be the same. I'm praying for supernatural insight, for clarity of purpose, assignments, and callings. Father, I am declaring that the supernatural will be the most natural thing in our lives going forward. I am declaring wealth, riches, buildings, lands for the kingdom and for kingdom purpose. I'm declaring peace, hope, joy over this local body and this region in the name of Jesus. We say yes to the next level. We say yes to walking out the divine and forsaking everything the enemy attempts to put on us. We repent in the name of Jesus. We forsake our ways and we choose your ways. We lay down our will and we walk in your will. We say, here we are, Lord. Use us. We are yours to command. Reuben, will you come up here? I want to pray for you. Will you come up here? I want to pray for you. Sarah, I need to pray for you. Andy, I need to pray for you. Those of you who begin to pray where you are, I'm just going to be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Was one other person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's about you. Who is it, Lord? It's about your plan. It's about your will. I don't know why you instructed me to pray for these. And there's one more person. I'm waiting to hear who it is. He said four. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to obey you. The prayer team will be up here afterwards. If any of you have any other prayers, I'm just gonna be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who pray in other tongues, begin to pray in other tongues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Patty, I think it's you. I'm going to have you and Jenny come up because I might be wrong. It's that corner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just pray in the Spirit. For whatever reason, for whatever God has, I'm just going to obey and lay hands on these for whatever the need is. Father, in obedience to your prompting, I lay hands on these here. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that you have for them. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that is present and available to destroy yokes and to remove burdens. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your plan. Whatever you have, Lord, I just get out of the way. And in obedience, I release my faith. In agreement with your plan, with your will, peace, peace, peace. Direction. Father, thank you for direction. Thank you for direction. Thank you, Lord. Clarity. Clarity. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace, deposits, and truth impartation. Thank you, Lord, for the word that has gone forth. Thank you, Lord, for the incorruptible seed that's been planted into our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit sealing that truth on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the watering of that word all through the week. Thank you for the testimonies of the harvest. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transformed. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm gonna pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.